In Jesus' name, we will quieten to study the mysteries of faith, the Holy Word, around the Holy Word of God. I will read from the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Amen. We have yesterday and today in the morning have heard in the Holy Word of God, and we have been able to receive from the Heavenly Father for our faith that food which he sees good. And with that prayer, even to this own service turn of mine, this good shepherd, not looking upon the servant, that the good shepherd would be nourishing and caring. And so he surely will do with that portion that he sees necessary and good. To these services have gathered you, brothers and sisters, friends, from many different kind of life situations, many and many different kinds are the thoughts, very central. If try to quieten yourself to the listening of the Word of God there in the service field or around different channels, surely services are being listened to in such a way, in situations, hearing a word from here and a word from there. But the Word of God is mysterious in that way, that it does its work even in small portions. And I, as a listener of the Word, have experienced that I might find myself in my own thoughts while listening, but then some matter or subject in the speech stops me and my ears are opened, and in my heart I experience that the Heavenly Father right now and here is nourishing me. Then allow this to happen in these services that we have organized here in Keuruu, to whoever who opens his ears to these services. This text is as though this is the how he speaks of how Paul speaks of what is in question in faith, and what is in question in that task that he, as an apostle, was doing. We will go through this text. This first statement of Paul is that God was in Christ. In that time, in a very similar way as in this time, there were many gods that people served. And when Paul speaks of God, he speaks of that God who we know as God, the Father of heaven, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Creator who has everything that we experience and seen, the Creator of all of this. He has, from the beginning of time, created the world, created man. And even today, every day, he creates new life. Today, it is not a clear matter. And there are generations who do not, from their childhood, hear the word of God. And in our time is a powerful thought and current that we would deny God. Which is understanding if we think of it in this way, that God has hidden himself. He is God who we can approach through faith. God will not be opened through our understanding. Some poet has written in this way, never can a short one find God in his own understanding. And this is how it is. Paul speaks now of this God, the Creator of earth, who became a man. The Gospel of John pictures this, how God became man. First was the Word, and it was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. God took the shape of man in Christ. Why? For this reason, that a person that God has created and had stated that was good, and this person fell into the temptations of the enemy of souls and was corrupted. And we can say in this way that it is not good for anybody, or a good one is not found from anybody. Of no one can we say in this way that is worthy to God. The creation work of God was corrupted. It meant this, that man was evacuated from the paradise and was unable to merit him or herself in front of God. A person cannot approach God from his own works, but God can approach man, and so happened even in the paradise. God was there in the paradise and shouted for Adam, "Where are you, Adam?" And there we see the love of God toward a fallen man. He searches. The love of God toward man is visible, especially here where he gave his only son so that not one would drown and that all would receive everlasting life. That God was in Christ. Christ is who we, how we say that Christ is the one who we believe. Of how we speak in the creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated in the right hand of the Father. This is what Christ is, and in this way we are redeemed of our sins, and God redeemed us through himself, through Christ. This redemption was needed so that man could approach God into the fellowship of God. And this happened through the suffering of Christ here in this time. Even there, our sins were redeemed. All that, what we do and how we trespass against others and how we trespass against God. And to that we are guilty, all of us. The suffering, death, and redemption work of Christ was needed for all of us. All of us are sin-fallen man, and this means this, that we are fighting, if we will it or not, will to fight or not. Our bad portion is fighting against God. We are unable to turn to God, but all that we do, all our thoughts, our words, our actions, how well-mannered they are or would be, nevertheless they are against God. We are unable to bring anything in front of God from our own works, and that small that we, this is what the sin-fallen man is. And this falling into sin in its perfectness led to this that the whole human nation was condemned of corruption. Without the grace of God, we would be condemned to damnation. The Bible pictures damnation in such a way that it is everlasting suffering, such as hell. The enemy of souls does work in us all the time so that it would be able to grow that group that would come to his fourth place. The enemy of souls is very good at this, and in many ways is tempting us, all of us. In these temptations are very similar, but many of us also have our own kinds of temptations. The enemy of souls knows how to do its work so well that we would unnoticingly be binded to this world. It is as though a sponge, the work of the enemy of souls. First, we do not notice. Then we begin to see the first signs. Then this good smell or fresh air becomes quite moldy or unbreathable. And if God is unable to do work in the heart, and then we fall from faith into unbelief, with a good conscience, nobody has ever fallen from the kingdom of God. But we simple believers, it is a joy message that from this road you will not be lost. But if we take our carnal understanding, even earlier we heard of this, that this carnal understanding bring us away from faith, unless faith doesn't control it. And like our Ilka brother earlier spoke, that unbelief comes in its place. But when we are, from our own part, unable to succeed in this, God in his love toward me and you, toward all of those who have, from the beginning of time to this day, been obedient to the invitation of God. To all of those, and also to all of us, and also to those who are journeying in the darkness. God has not divided this in any way that who he loves. He loves all sinful people, and all of us are in this group. All the people of history and all the people to come are sinful people, and God loves all sinful people. In such a great matter that he has given his own Son for the redemption of our sins. And Paul goes on. The redemption work that did not leave anybody on the outside. He did not read their sins onto them. I lost the Bible part here. I have a Bible through the internet, and my laptop ran out of battery, so I lost that part he referred to. God has his wisdom showed, but God, the world in its own wisdom has not understood this wisdom of God, and God saw best to redeem those through the sermon. And so the Bible says to us, there was the promise of the gospel to those who had no longer hope, who awoke into that matter that their relation with God has been broken. Restlessness had come in the place of peace. They received the gospel, and to this gospel they secured themselves. In the first book of Moses, Genesis, how it is spoken of the boys of Adam and Eve. The Bible speaks that was sermoned of the Lord. This means this, that the gospel that was given to Adam and Eve was sermoned. It was noticed that the enemy of souls is doing his work, and that they need a defense against it. They needed weapons to fight against the enemy of souls. It was noticed this, that how this sin lives in people, that it is inherited. It was seen in Cain and Abel. What is the purpose of the enemy of souls? It is to kill. How Cain, through the enemy of his souls, listening, how he listened to the word of the enemy of his souls more than the word of God, and killed his brother. And not even the words of Christ after did the word of Christ touch Cain. What kind of a example of the love of God we have, of the love of God. What kind of a terrible action Cain had done. And nevertheless, God is still inviting. Not even in that situation did the Heavenly Father turn his back, but nevertheless, he was still inviting. And even under this rebuke, Cain did not humble. Instead, he hardened his heart and lost, and had already lost through his actions, had lost his faith. But Abel, who served the living God with the eyes of faith of the coming Savior, of whom Paul speaks of here, to wit that God was in Christ. And there already in the time of Cain and Abel, they began to preach of the coming Savior. Then the reconciling sermon, word of reconciliation, came after Christ for the task of the children of God. The gospel writers write all in this way, that go and preach to all nations. Go to all nations and make all nations to be my disciples. And we might ask, what does it mean to make a disciple? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all that I have asked of you. But Mark, as another gospel writer, go and preach the gospel. These were the words of the task written of Mark. So Luke writes in this way, repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached beginning in Jerusalem. It opens once again, what does it mean to make a disciple? What does it mean to preach the gospel? It is the preaching of the forgiveness of sins. Repentance means this, that we advise to turn for those who are not yet believing, to turn the forgiveness of sins means that all of that God has awakened upon your conscience, all those shortcomings are forgiven and can be believed, forgiven in Jesus' name. And John summarizes this mission task and says, take the Holy Spirit, for to whom you forgive their sins, they are forgiven. Which is an important addition to this task of the gospel writers, to the addition to the other gospel writers, that it is the task of the Holy Spirit that to be born again, it is not sermoned, not only in word. The word itself does not justify how. An example of this is how Nicodemus asks of Jesus, how can one be born again? But Jesus answers, but not only of water, but of water and spirit. But that we are not born only of water, but of water and spirit. This word, the water, this beautiful message that our sins are forgiven, this knowledge or word is not enough, but we need the Holy Spirit. And when Paul states that he has unto us the word of reconciliation, we have a strong prophetical word. This is what Peter writes. God has made so that this gospel water, it is living water through the Spirit. Those who have believed carry this water in the beakers or pails of their hearts. When Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman, to whom drinks of the water that I give, drinks the water of everlasting life. Even in these services, we want to be carrying this water. We want to be serving it to every listener and to cherish it in our hearts through faith, from faith to faith, like Paul writes in the letter to the Romans. For there is the righteousness that is good in front of God, informed from faith to faith. And this is the task of the Holy Spirit. And how in this kingdom of God is only visible, but which offends the world. It is very difficult to believe. It is very difficult to think that we are a holy nation, a chosen nation, to proclaim that power that takes us into the brightness. And in the most central task of these services, and us servants of the word, when we are thinking of our service turn, we are troubled around this matter, how to bring this gospel forth, that we would not with our own corrupt corrupted portion corrupt, but that the perfect love of God would be able to come through the gospel to be taken by the listeners, and that it would be easy to believe. How can we take this gospel water so close to the lips of the thirsty that the enemy of souls would not come in between it? The enemy of souls is very talented, but the power of God is greater. And even in this moment, I encourage you, dear listener, to grab onto those words of the words of joy with heartful faith. The Lord Jesus has redeemed your sins. You can believe your sins, all temptations, doubts, forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, forgiven. And this same gospel is the food of the children and of the elders, and even you children who are visible here in the service tent. You are playing your own games, but I know that your ears are open. A child does not need to hear other words than that as a child you can securely believe that the Heavenly Father loves you and your sins are forgiven, also redeemed on the Christ, on the cross of Golgotha. And this same sermon is to those you gray-haired. Even when your hair is gray, I still will carry you and bring you to the destination. You also can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. God is a powerful God who is carrying us, and upon Him we can secure ourselves. We do not need to be doubtful. Doubts can be won through the gospel. I also want to hear the gospel. In many doubts to this service turn, can I believe my own sins and doubts forgiven? I want to believe together with you in Jesus' name. Amen.